This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode of the Inferno Podcast is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health and Pearl River Resort. Welcome into the Inferno Podcast. My name is Landrum Roberts. I am your host. This is the place to get up to date on all things green and gold when it comes to UAB athletics. Our episode rundown is brought to you by our friends at Legacy Credit Union, the official credit union of UAB athletics. It's the tournament edition of the Inferno Podcast. Right out of the gate, we're going to have UAB men's head basketball coach Andy Kennedy breaking down what we saw of the regular season and the tail end of that, finishing up this past week, getting ready for American Conference tournament play. Blazers earning the double bye. They get the three seed in the tournament. 8:30. Around 8:30, 8 o'clock officially on Friday night, is they're going to host either East Carolina or UTSA. Andy Kennedy is going to join us right out of the gate. We'll talk about potential those matchups, the run through the tournament, what it's going to take for the Blazers to punch another ticket to the NCAA tournament. Not only that, we're going to have a special tournament lightning round with Coach Kennedy. You don't want to miss that as well. And later on, what's going on in UAB Athletics? A weekly update, a lot of exciting things, not only with some of the winter sports and them wrapping up, but also the spring sports. And how about UAB baseball off to a hot start? We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But coming up next, it is Coach Andy Kennedy. Let's get you ready for the American Conference Tournament and beyond. Episode 29, the Inferno Podcast continues.
Trent Dilfer here, head football coach of the UAB Blazers. I want to tell you about my friends at Legacy Credit Union. Legacy began as University Credit Union in 1955 and remains committed to UAB faculty, students, alumni, and fans. Not only do they support the Birmingham community, but they are also proud sponsors of UAB and UAB athletics. Visit LegacyCreditUnion.com and find out why you should become a member today.
The Inferno Podcast, Blazer fans, we've made it really, really easy for you. There's a lot of different ways that you can consume this podcast each and every week, and we certainly appreciate you doing that. But you're going to appreciate it because we're going to keep you up to date on everything going on within the athletics program, the green and gold. YouTube, it's pretty simple. At Inferno Podcast UAB, like, subscribe, ring the bell, tell your family about it, your friends, your neighbors, spread it around the office. This thing is going to catch fire, literally. Appreciate you joining us there on YouTube, but also Instagram. You can find us Inferno_pod on Twitter, or the X if you prefer, at Inferno_pod_UAB on Facebook. That's kind of the OG, right? UAB Athletics. You can find it there on Facebook. And, of course, you can go to UABSports.com. We've got links. We've got all different ways. There is no excuse for you to miss the Inferno Podcast each and every week. Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast. I'm Landrum Roberts. It's time for the Coach's Corner segment of the podcast with UAB men's head basketball coach Andy Kennedy. Each week, the Coach's Corner is brought to us by our friends at Pepsi and Viva Health. Coach, how are you this morning? Happy tournament week. Is it a happy tournament week?
Well, I'm excited. Yeah, man. This is the next chapter. You know, you do everything throughout the course of preseason, non-conference, conference for this. And we know what's at stake. And I hope our guys go in and with the right mindset. That's really all you can control as a coach. Think about this. So we finished the regular season at 13-5. We're the three seed. Now we don't know. We know we play Friday night at 8 o'clock. It'll be about 8:30. I never really understand why they do that. They put the first game at 6 and the second game at 8. Well, number one, games take about 2 to 2:10 to play, and then they got to let you warm up. So let's keep it real. It's going to be about 8:30.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just bananas to me. So it's going to be about 8:30 on Friday night, but it's not even as if, okay, as we're taping this, we're a couple of days out. Who do you prepare for? You don't know who you're preparing for because you're going to play the winner of East Carolina and UTSA, and they don't play till 8:30 Thursday night. So we won't know who we're playing till around 10:30 the night before, so we'll have about 22 hours. The lucky thing, obviously, when you're in league play, Both of those teams we have played once a long time ago. But it's just the magnitude of the moment. That's what you have to embrace, and that's what you want to make sure that your kids are up for.
I know you're not going to answer this, and I don't expect you to, but in your mind,
so you played. But you're going to ask it anyway.
Yes.
That's good.
Of course,
that's a good host.
UTSA, you got that win. That was a hard-fought game. You had to hit a couple of free throws late. They shot the ball really well when they were here at Bartow in the second half. You go to East Carolina, you drop that one, unfortunately. But do you have a preference in your mind of who you match up better with or who you'd rather play?
No, I don't care. I think that if we were to play either team, understanding what is in front of us, I would hope our guys are excited and ready to go. We understand that when we lose next, balls go up, season's a wrap. So it doesn't matter to me. Obviously, there's certain teams that you match up with better. As you said, UTSA scares you because of their ability to score. We saw it firsthand. They've been up and down. They're the lower seed. Or the higher seed. How do you say that, too? What's the most appropriate way to say it?
Say it both ways, just so for the people that think the higher seed actually means lower and lower actually means higher.
Yeah, I'm the same way. It's like in golf. I mean, low score means you win, but every other thing you're trying to score. So for me, UTSA had the worst regular season, but, boy, they're dangerous. They're dangerous because their ability to score. East Carolina is a group that took it to us, but it was at their place, and I thought they played one of their better games of the year. They were a team that going into that game, they were averaging around 5 made threes per game in the mid-30s, and I believe they made 9 or 10 against us. Can they do that again? I'm not sure. So to me, it really doesn't matter. I just hope we come in again with the right mindset.
What is it about championship week? Because I'm watching some of these other conferences as their teams are punching tickets, and sometimes it is your co-regular season champ or chalk holds, as they say. But then you get these other teams. You take the American, what was it last year, that Temple team that made the run?
Amazing.
It was pretty incredible. I don't know how many teams you've been on where it was that drastic of a win-loss record going into the season. Nobody really gave you a chance in a tournament setting, and you made it to the final game, the final championship. But it's wild to me. I don't know why I'm surprised every single year. Some of these teams that go in as an 11 or a 12 and they find themselves in the championship game and they found a way to play their 4 best days or 5 best days of basketball all season.
You know what? I'm watching it now. I watch a lot of basketball. I've got friends and colleagues that are coaching at all different levels. So I watch their tournaments, and it's happening before our eyes right now. You know, I've always struggled with – I'm a believer, and this would have kept me out of a few tournaments, last year being one. I'm a firm believer in that. I wish the NCAA tournament could come – or the NCAA could come up with a way in which to reward the regular season champ but still have something on the line for the conference tournament. If you gave – Memphis won our regular season this year. So if you gave the automatic bid to your regular season champ, then it would take away, why are you playing the tournament? And we know. Now, the American Conference, I can't speak to that, but the SEC, for instance, which is going to be starting up here pretty quickly, they're making a lot of money off the SEC tournament. So they're not going to stop that, even though all the teams that would be in the running, I think right now Lenardi's got 12, maybe 13, maybe 14 teams getting in. So the only two teams that would have to win the automatic as it sits right now are LSU and South Carolina, or everybody else is getting to the tournament. They're playing for seeding, but a lot of that's overblown as well. Now, maybe some of the lower level teams that are still the Oklahomas, the Texases, that are still the Georgias, that still probably need to win a game or so in order to breathe a sigh of relief on Selection Sunday, they may be playing where they're trying to get off the 12 line or they're trying to get off the 11 line. But I don't think there's not going to be a real push for the Alabamas, the Auburns, because I think they're going to be locked in where they are regardless of what happens in the tournament. So what's the motivation? Obviously, the motivation is you want to win the game. Like for us, we closed the regular season at Tulane, and it was certainly not our best day. Going into the game, we knew we were the 3 seed. If we won, we were going to be the 3 seed. If we lost, we were going to be the 3 seed. I tried to bounce around that because we knew Tulane coming in was still playing for something. They needed to win in order to secure the 4. And if they lost and some other things happened beyond their control, they could slip out of the double bye range to the 5. So we knew they were going to be coming in with a little bit more motivation. So I tried to get our guys to focus on that, obviously very unsuccessfully. I wasn't able to get them to understand the importance of the game, but it really didn't matter to us leading into this conference tournament. I think that's the case for the majority of the teams in the SEC. However, as a coach, you always want to have momentum going into the big tournament, which is obviously the NCAA tournament.
Not to cite specific deficiencies with this version of UAB men's basketball this season.
We don't have that much time. This is a 30-minute show? I mean, we could spend days on our inefficiencies.
Coach, your history as a head coach and taking teams to the NCAA tournament, whether it be at UAB, whether it be there in Oxford with that Ole Miss program, or being an assistant and being under Bob Huggins at Cincinnati, you have a lot of tournament history. Am I going to get coach speak from you? Do you approach it the same way, or do you change anything about your preparation, the way that you get your message to your team throughout the week when it comes to tournament team?
I'm going to surprise you with this answer. I change everything dependent upon the team.
Okay.
Each team processes things differently. Now, you've got a standard, and there's a way in which you're going to operate logistically leading into hopefully having your most focus and your most energy at 8:30 this Friday night. That's the goal. But we'll change a lot of things just based on every team is different. And some teams can handle the hard truths better than others. So I have learned a lot about this team. I've driven them as hard as I could drive them. Now it's just about trying to get them in the best mind space, to get them in the best thought possible leading into the biggest game of the season, which is the next one in this one-and-done scenario.
If we were looking at breakdowns, and let's just say on the defensive side of the ball, if you have a breakdown with the defense, from what you've seen, is there frustration from you? Is some of that, is it just ability? Is it player? Is it disconnect up here not translating? Is it effort? Are there things that are correctable this week? The way I should have asked it, Coach.
You know, I think we are what we are. I think we've got to be best version of self. That's been the mantra, really, from day one of me taking this job. That's what I want everybody to be. I want everybody to be the best versions of themselves, so that collectively we can do what I feel like we're still capable of doing. We've got some issues that now, after 31 games, we've played 31 games. We have a pretty good body of work. We realize what our strengths are. We realize what our weaknesses are. We know what our path to success is. And I've said this before on this show. Ultimately, you got to develop the discipline to stay to your path. And there's times that we don't stay disciplined enough for our path to be successful. We try to do things that have proven to be unsuccessful, and yet we're not disciplined enough to stay to the successful path. That's what this group has to do. We don't have to necessarily play sexy basketball. We've got to play efficient basketball, and we've got to commit to the physical battle. The games in which we do that, again, we've won 20 games, so it certainly worked. The games in which we have chosen to go our own way, things have not worked well.
We continue here on the Inferno podcast. Head basketball coach Andy Kennedy joining us as we get ready for the American Conference tournament coming up this weekend with the Blazers. Their first game coming Friday in quarterfinal action as they will host either East Carolina or UTSA. Coach, what does the schedule look like for your staff? If you kind of lay it out, travel, what does it look like for the Blazers this week?
We'll start the journey up. You know, last year, going in, we were still fighting for the double bye on the last day. This year, we were able to at least have a couple of days. We knew after winning Thursday we were going to be the 3 seed, which gave my operations director a little bit of time to try to figure out logistically when you go up. Well, you don't want to go up too early, but you also don't want to be jammed up. We'll fly up there commercially, and as a result, things can happen. So you don't want to put yourself behind the 8 ball just based on the graces of commercial air flight. So we'll go up on Wednesday. We'll get there Wednesday night. We'll have an opportunity to get a little workout in here Wednesday. Then Thursday, the hope would be we can get a few minutes. They don't give you much time on the playing surface until you play, simply because there's 4 games going on Thursday, so they've got to work you around. We may get a chance to get in there and shoot the ball. Last year, we did not. We didn't get in the building until our first game. But if I remember correctly, last year we had the first game, I think, of the night session, and as a result, you get your typical warm-up time. This time being the second game, we'll have about 20 minutes on the court. You got to come out there and you got to get your mind focused pretty quickly. And I've also always said this. When you have the double bye, the team that is coming off winning the night before, in my opinion, has the advantage in game two. Because why? Because they have played a game on the court. They've seen the ball go in the basket. There's a little more sense of familiarity with the venue than the team that's got the double bye. Now, where does the double bye come into play? In day two and definitely in day three. For instance, Temple had to play five games in 5 days. Last year we played them in the finals. They had to win Wednesday. So in my opinion, they had the advantage Thursday, which proved to be true, and they beat a team that was playing for the first time on Dickey's Arena. They win then. Then they've got to win the third game. They found a way to do that. Then they win the four. So they were trying to go 5 for 5, and I do think that on Sunday the fatigue and the fact that you're trying to play 5 straight days does certainly wear on an opponent.
Are you finding a gym, just a local gym, out?
And yeah.
Does it matter? You're not going to find anything that has the sight lines of the arena.
You don't worry about that. You're just trying to get a sweat. You're just trying to move your bodies. And then as a coach, you're constantly, okay, you want to be able to do, I call it bone on bone. You want to be able to do some live action, but you're also, man, super cautious about you. This is not the time to lose a guy. We play 8 guys. This is not a time to lose a guy that could derail you before you even start the action. So you got to stay in shape. You know how quickly it is to get out of shape. So you got to cardiovascular. You got to make sure that you're moving around. We've got a whole week, but you got to be cautious. And there's not as if you can show a lot of tape because you don't know who you're playing. You know, right. So it's not an advantage as it relates to prep time because you're going to have the same prep time as your opponent. You don't know who you're playing until you know. So for us, it's just, again, about getting in the right mind space and about going in it feeling positive, having good vibes, man. Good vibes only.
Are you superstitious?
No.
No, okay. That's good. If you were, and I'm not either. I used to be, but that was that's my past. It's not a part of my life now. But I was going to recommend we could change up some wardrobe stuff for you.
That was funny the way you said that. Yeah. I it was almost like self-talk, like you're trying to talk yourself.
That's who I was. That's not who I am now.
I'm a guy that I like to view it as I have structure in my life, and I do things structurally. For instance, us taping this has thrown my structure off a little bit.
You're welcome.
I'm usually a get up in the morning and immediately go work out guy, but now I maybe pause that a bit. But I have things that I do in a routine, but I don't believe in it. And Coach Bartow, the late, great Gene Bartow, he was really superstitious. For instance, we stayed in a different hotel. We had won at Tulane the year before. I don't know why I keep going back to this bad memory, but we won at Tulane last year, and this year, obviously, we did not. We stayed at a different hotel. That would never be the case with Gene Bartow. If you're winning basketball games, you are doing the exact same thing. If your bus broke down and had to change a tire on the way to the game and you won that game, then he's going to be out there with a screwdriver hitting that tire. We're going to change that tire again every game until we lose. I mean, that much into it. I'm not that guy. I certainly have routines. You want me to put on a suit and tie? I'm not doing that.
I just thought if we were going to change it up, we could maybe bring out a suit.
And what's crazy is I've got a closet full of them back in the day. And
do you have like an old sweater that you could rock?
Yeah, I'm not going to, but yeah, I've got some old sweater.
AK in a sweater?
Well, you want a turtleneck? You want me to bring those back?
I want it to look like something like a grandmother had quilted it.
You know the
pictures that you'll get that are framed in some people's kitchens?
I bet you have a button sweater. Do you?
Yeah, it's the Clark Griswold.
Is that called a cardigan?
Is it cardigan? I think it's a cardigan. Yeah, it's green and it comes down, and there's one time a year that I wear it, and it's around Christmas.
How about that?
I can pull it off, but no other time of the year.
I'm not going to ask you to borrow it. I just hope we play better. I just want to play better. Yeah. That's my goal.
How many different uniforms are we taking? Can we take all of them?
You know, I don't know that. You're asking me things I don't even know. I would assume we'll have three, but you know, the first game we would be
home team.
The lower seed, which is the higher seed. Remember, we've lower, higher. We're going to be the home team. So I assume we'll wear white or gold, I assume.
Okay.
And then from that point forward, we would be the higher seed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Higher meaning seed. The lower rated team. So we would have to wear dark colors.
Most likely, unless there's upsets.
Unless there's upsets.
And there's always the potential for upsets.
Yeah, you know, for me, and I'll be candid, you know, our goal was to get a double bye, and then our goal was to try to get to the 2-3. Ironically enough, North Texas, who was a game ahead of us going into the final game on Sunday, they lost as well. They lost at Temple. So we could have tied for second place, but we knew based on tiebreakers we were still going to be the 3 seed. So the goal was to get opposite Memphis. For obvious reasons. They were the only team in the league that swept us this year. They're the best team in the American Athletic Conference. They're only fighting for seeding, and they're in a precarious situation. I would think coming in, I think justifiably they should be in the 5-6 seed side. And if they don't win the tournament, they could drop. Now, I know this from experience because the SEC also plays their championship game on Sunday, as do we. They play the 12 o'clock game. We play the 2:50 game. We're right behind them on the worldwide leader, and I know those brackets will already be put in. So for TV, I've been told that. So whoever is playing on that Sunday, whatever their seed is, it is, regardless of what happens in the game. Remember Calipari, I think, made a big fuss about this, believe it or not, that his seed line didn't change based on the results of the championship game on Sunday. So those lines will be in. If we're playing on Sunday, there'll still be a void in the bracket, and there'll be a lot of people on the bubble nervous because obviously we would take one of those bids.
When you were at Ole Miss, or do other coaches do this, if it's not a one-bid league, and this year it could be a one-bid league out of the American.
It is a one-bid league, unless Memphis gets upset.
It gets upset, and then somebody else punches their ticket via winning the conference tournament. But do coaches reach out to tournament committee members at any point just to kind of get a gauge, get a feel of the room?
No. That's completely taboo. My assumption is that they're not allowed to do that.
Do you think that they have people that reach out to those people?
Of course. There's some things going on, just like the portal. It's the pre-portal. So it's the pre-NCAA tournament selection.
Tampering with the selection
committee members. They're just trying to, hey, how am I looking? You know, what's it looking like in there? I'm sure that goes on all the time. I'm sure that it's, again, not supposed to be happening because it's supposed to be the integrity of the committee cannot be challenged.
This is a fun time of year. Andy Kennedy, as we wrap up, you guys getting ready for postseason play, and hopefully it's 3 straight days of green and gold fun and then punching a ticket to go to the big tournament.
I don't think that we're even in play for the NIT. Like, people always say that, oh, you can go to the NIT because they have this old mentality.
Right.
They changed the NIT rules.
Yeah.
And now they've locked in to teams that don't make the NCAA tournament. Especially, I think it's Big 12, SEC, Big 10. They have automatic selections.
Wasn't Indiana State that team last year that was that sexy team that just barely missed out and then they went the NIT?
And they were a 1 seed. They missed out of the NCAA. But I'm even saying for the NIT, like it used to be, okay, you finish 3rd in the American Conference, then you're going to go to the NIT. But now that is not even the case because the Power Fives have already got guaranteed lock-ins.
Well, and with the NIT, it used to be, well, this is a group. I got the majority of this group. They're going to be coming back next year. It's an extra chance to get more basketball, to get more practices. But now with the transfer portal and everything else, are you really doing?
Yeah, it's kind of fruitless. I think the NIT gets a bad name, though. I'd like to discuss this with you. I think, you know, we went to the championship game 2 years ago, and the value that that added, that was a Jelly Walker, Trey Jemison, Ty Brewer went on a magic, and all those kids didn't have any more eligibility. We weren't building towards the future. We were just playing basketball and using it as an opportunity to continue to play. Isn't that the goal? Going to the NIT Final Four, to me, equates more value than winning the Belk Bowl or winning the Outback Bowl, doesn't it? And people celebrate winning the Outback Bowl or the Gator Bowl or whatever, the Independence Bowl. But going to the NIT and extending your season, if you can advance, especially if you can advance to the NIT Final Four, because we played on a Thursday night. Again, just for brand value, we played on the Thursday night before the NCAA Final Four on that Saturday. So we were one of the last six teams standing. In that run, we had won four games. I think the brand appeal of that is much more valuable. Now, it's not as valuable as getting to your New Year's Six Bowl, or now especially the 12-team playoff. That's more valuable. But I've always equated that sometimes you have to apologize for going to the NIT, which I think is bananas, even though you throw a parade when you win the Shreveport Bowl. Right? Yeah. It's just a different mentality, I suppose.
You feel better?
No, but do you disagree?
No, I don't. I think you raised some really, really good points there I never really thought about. But, yeah, NIT for me as a fan was just extra basketball. And if we had a team like UAB with local rooting interest, made it better for me personally as a college basketball fan, but also for what I do Monday through Friday in hosting a sports radio show.
Sure.
That's keeping it real.
Yeah. I mean, you got things you got to talk about.
That's right.
I hope we can give you some talking points.
Let me know
after this weekend.
Do you know the lyrics to One Shining Moment?
No, I can hum it, but I don't. And then what's after that?
I listened to it last night just to get me ready for March Madness.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Was it Luther Vandross that
definitely
that laid it down definitely. First time?
Definitely.
That's a classic. Maybe they need to. I don't know. I was listening to it last night. It sounds a little bit dated, but
remix it.
Yeah, remix. Might not hurt it.
Kendrick Lamar hurts pretty good at that. maybe get his rendition next.
So, Coach, before we wrap up with you, in your, be careful how I ask this. Have you gone?
Have I had a worse team ever won the tournament? That's what you want to say.
I don't want to say worse. I wanted to say a team with more deficiencies that have won a tournament.
More challenges.
More challenges.
All of our teams have had challenges. I've only won it three times. I have won it three times. And my team at Ole Miss in 2013, we were talking about this a little bit before we started taping the Baker Mazar,
yeah,
i.e. Marshall Henderson comparison. You know, volatile but yet valuable. That's a good term, right?
That's good.
You can use that later.
Thank you. I will.
And you were saying, you know, how do you control it? Because with Marshall, and Marshall was fantastic. He was the MVP of that conference tournament, so Chad Baker Mazar, there's something to shoot for. He was MVP of the conference tournament in 2013. So you want to make sure that the passion is funneled properly. Passion's good, emotion's bad. So you don't want to get overly emotional and let your emotions get carried away with you. But you want to be passionate. You want to be able to go about your business in the way in which Marshall Henderson did, very, very effectively, in the way in which Chad Baker Mazar does, very effectively. Because he's certainly a valuable piece for Auburn. 2013, we won it. We finished second in the SEC in the regular season. So I wouldn't say that was an upset. We had a good team, and we played good for three straight days. Then we won it in Frisco with Jelly Walker, and it was a team that we felt we weren't predicted to win the league, but we felt we fell around. You know, I think we were second in the West. That's when they were doing the East-West stuff. I think we were second in the West, so that wouldn't be considered an upset either. We were a team that was certainly capable, and this team is certainly capable. I would think this team is probably the least favored because last year's team actually was rated fourth, and I'm not sure a lot of people would have thought we could have made that run last year, and I'm sure that the same doubt is surrounding this team. We have some deficiencies, but we also have a group that's capable and has been there. Five of our guys on this year's team walked up that ladder last year on Sunday week to cut down those nets. So they've been in the building, they've had the experience, and hopefully that serves us well.
Would you be willing to do an NCAA tournament lightning round edition?
Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's start it. Crank it up. It's time for the lightning round here on the Inferno Podcast with UAB men's head basketball coach Andy Kennedy. All right, Coach, here we go. When did the NCAA tournament expand to 68 teams?
Man, you know what? You can't give me an A, B, C, D. Like, you guys think we're a lot smarter than this.
You got a lot going on, and it's fair. Was it A, 2012, B, 2011, C, 2010, or D, 1982?
2010.
It's 2011.
Mm.
But you're right.
I took a shot.
You did.
Yeah, I had no idea.
How many regions?
I was going to say, you know, if you remember this, let's go back a little bit, a little trivia. UAB has been to one Elite Eight in its program's history. I think it was 81, 82, if memory serves. And that team got a bye. You know, they only won two. You know, to go to the Elite Eight, you got to win three. They only had to win two that year because they got a bye. Because back in 1982, believe it or not, the tournament was 48 teams. So they got byes. And I'm okay with that. As it relates to expansion, I know a lot of people say, oh, we can't have expansion, we can't have expansion. But I am for expanding it to open up the field. I think people would watch it. I think it would be exciting. And it's, and to me, it's about if you have a great year. I can't pull a team off the top of my head that had a great regular season. Let's say like Drake, yeah, that's in the Missouri Valley.
Yeah.
But Drake doesn't – they run through the regular season, but they don't win their conference tournament. I still think they should deserve a bid. Indiana State, you used that earlier, that example earlier. And I think they deserve – when you have an incredible year and you're winning all these games and you don't quite pull it off in the conference tournament, there should be a place for you.
Absolutely.
So those teams should all have to play an extra game, and the Auburns and the Alabamas of the world are just sitting in the wings waiting. They don't have to win more than six to win the national championship, but I still think there's room for expansion.
Yeah, you prove
and that's
it.
The way I would go about it.
Coach, you prove it over an 8-game sample size, home and away. That should be rewarded in some way. And I was talking about this with my wife, and she fills out a bracket, and she doesn't watch college basketball near as much as I do, but she was curious. She said, why do we do this? Why are not we not? Well, I said, but by winning your regular season championship, you're most of the time you are. If you're in one of those power conferences, you're going to get one of those at-large bids. But it's not. We went through all of this last night.
I thought you were going to ask when it expanded to 64 teams. Do you know that? I think that's in the – when did it go from 48 to 60?
So 48 to 64 – you know, I don't know that. I would say
–
would that have been 80
– I would say early 80s, mid-80s.
Yeah, because I watched one of the original selection shows, and it was Brent Musburger, and they had these big, like, placards and and tape with the – with the name plates that were on there, and it was bizarre. And you look at what the selection show looks like now, but a lot less teams.
I think this, I went to college, and my freshman year at North Carolina State was 86, 87. So I think by then we were at 64 teams. So I think it happened, again, I said in 82, I know it was 48. So I think it happened soon thereafter.
What is the term for predicting the outcomes of NCAA tournament games? Or matchups. I don't know if outcomes is the right word. But what do we call it? It's a science that some of these specialists for these networks are putting together right now.
Oh, bracketology?
Bracketology.
Yeah, Joey Brackets.
And you say bracketology instead of bracketology. Bracketology.
Bracketology.
Bracketology. You say it either
way. What do you say? Bracketology?
It just depends on how I'm feeling. Bracketology. Bracketology. Bracketologist. Bracketologist.
Bracketology.
Bracketology. I don't know if there's the right one. What is the nickname for the NCAA tournament?
March Madness.
Okay. How many rounds are in the tournament?
You have to win six games to win the national championship, so my guess would be six.
That is incorrect, Coach. There are seven rounds because you have a play-in.
Oh, good call.
You have the play-in.
I played in the play-in, too.
The first four.
Let me tell you this story. So in 2015... the Ole Miss Rebels lose their season finale to Vanderbilt. The Ole Miss Rebels lose in the conference tournament. We got a bye. We lost our quarterfinal game against South Carolina. We were up by two with 3 seconds to play. Ball got inbounded. My good friend Frank Martin, who's now at UMass, shout out Frank, got the ball inbounds, and they were about to shoot a half-court shot. And my guy was kind of a little too close, and the guy did a great job of veering into him and forced the foul call. The kid goes to the free throw line, makes three in a row. We lose. Selection Sunday, I didn't know if we were going to see our name or not on that bubble. I was calling everybody I knew, and I wasn't getting in many return phone calls to your earlier point. And we get in. We're in the last bracket. We're the last four teams shown. So we get in. So this is on Sunday. We get in and we're playing in Dayton. We're playing BYU on Tuesday. So this is Sunday. We don't know anything. And we try to pull up some tape, try to get prepared, fly Monday to Dayton, get in Dayton Arena, play Tuesday. Down 17 at the half, came back, won the game, 94-90. It was the highest scoring game of the NCAA tournament that year. Biggest comeback, we were down 19 at the under 16-minute timeout in the second half. Come back and win the game. Good memory for me in the final, in the first four. Now, I would not suggest that route for many, but it worked for me.
BYU shoot 25 threes before they get off the bus.
Yeah, I think they made like 16. I think it's the most three. I think it was definitely that year. It still could be the record. The most threes made in NCAA tournament game and lost.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Let's find one more. All right. Who was the first number 16 seed to upset a number one seed in the NCAA tournament?
Maryland Baltimore County.
That's it. 2018.
Ryan Odom was the coach, and Ryan Odom is now the coach at VCU, and they're on their way to making the NCAA tournament. An old conference opponent, the old Sun Belt days.
His name's percolating for jobs, by the way.
Yeah, always. I remember the game vividly.
Coach, great luck. Good luck. We're there with you this weekend.
My man.
Go win it.
Thank you.
Coach Andy Kennedy, the Inferno, we continue.
As UAB athletes, there's nothing we like more than the roar of the crowd.
Around here, we say we win as one.
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 And to keep cheering for the green and gold.
There's one thing we need from you.
Ask your doctor about an RSV vaccine.
And help protect everyone.
Our littlest Blazers and our most seasoned fans are most at risk from RSV.
Ask about your RSV vaccine today.
So we can all stay in the game.
And win as one.
Welcome back into the Inferno Podcast. Great visit with UAB basketball coach Andy Kennedy as the Blazers get ready for American Conference Tournament play. It is now time for our UAB Athletics Weekly Update. It's always brought to us by the Alabama Department of Public Health to help protect all UAB fans. Ask your doctor about your RSV vaccine today so we can all win as one. Of course, UAB men's basketball, they fall on the road in the regular season finale. They're in New Orleans to Tulane, but a nice win over FAU senior night inside of Bartow Arena. Great crowd there. Of course, UAB men's basketball getting ready for the conference tournament coming up on Friday as they will host either East Carolina or UTSA. Unfortunately, on the women's side, Coach Randy Norton, injuries and just another frustrating season in conference play. The Blazers, their season comes to an end in the American Conference Women's Tournament as they fall to Rice. But congratulations to Coach Randy Norton and the Blazers on a campaign that I'm sure was frustrating for him. But we did get to see a lot of good basketball, which we've come to expect from Coach Norton and those guys. Also, coming up this week, UAB softball. They got a win at USF. Taylor Smart, first-year Blazers head coach, took her team down there, talked to her last week, and she said, we need to be smarter. We need to play harder. They did. They get one of the three. Coming up this weekend, you want to check them out at Mary Bowers Field. They're going to take on FAU, a team, a program that Coach Taylor Smart is very familiar with. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the series, and the times for that at Mary Bowers Field. Friday, 5:30, the first pitch. Saturday, 1 o'clock, and then noon on Sunday. Mentioned UAB baseball. Coach Casey Dunn, all they did, and he was on the Inferno last week, is they go to South Carolina and they just win games. They win games. Not only do they win a game, a midweek game versus Auburn last week at Regions in incredible walk-off fashion, but then they go to the state of South Carolina. They go up to Greenville and they handle their business, get a win over Winthrop, a thrilling high-scoring game with Cornell. They dropped the first one to Michigan State, but they exact their revenge on Sunday and get the win over the Spartans. All of a sudden, the Blazers off to a great start, one of their best starts in recent memory. Congratulations to Coach Casey Dunn. This weekend, they're going to take on Middle up in Tennessee. Friday at 6 o'clock, Saturday, a 3 p.m. first pitch, and Sunday at 1 p.m. UAB Bowling going to take on Vanderbilt up in Smyrna, Tennessee. That's a part of the Music City Classic, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this weekend as well. And Beach Volleyball, they're going to take on Georgia State, Florida Gulf Coast, and Tampa, along with FAU, coming up this weekend in Pompano Beach, as hopefully the Lady Blazers women's volleyball team, beach volleyball team, getting ready for postseason action, as that's coming up here in just a couple of months. And golf, Bama Beach Bash, Gulf Shores, that's coming up Sunday, March 16th, with the UAB Blazer golf team. That is your weekly update. Episode 29 of the Inferno Podcast continues.
The if in life, it's a world of possibilities. If you go for a night out with friends, if you can keep an eye on your money along the way, if you know you have overdraft protection with no fee transfers from savings, when you get a low balance alert, it's easier to say yes to fun. If that sounds good, try Regions Life Banking.
Stay ready for the if in life.
Regions Bank embrace the infant life.
Well, that's going to do it for episode 29 of the Inferno podcast. We appreciate Coach Andy Kennedy breaking down the American Conference Tournament. I want to remind you, you can tune in to UAB basketball in the American Conference Tournament coming up on Friday as they host either East Carolina or UTSA. Scheduled tip time is 8:30, but you heard Coach Andy Kennedy. Give it some buffer time, but you can catch all of the action. Voice of the Blazers, David Crane, on Jocks 2 100.5 and on the Jocks 2 app there at the Jocks 94.5 download. So make that easy for you to consume all things UAB when it comes to basketball there inside of Dickies Arena in Fort Worth, Texas. Also this weekend, Mary Bowers Field, we talked about it, UAB softball. Let's welcome home the Blazers as they got a three-game homestand as they take on FAU. Big-time American Series as softball is in full swing, pun absolutely intended. So get out and support the Blazers. UABSports.com, that's where you get all of your comprehensive information. We appreciate all of you consuming this podcast right here on YouTube and the multitude of different platforms that you can consume it. As always, we appreciate Molly Robinson, who does a wonderful and outstanding job of producing and putting together this show each and every week. We appreciate all of you. Go Blazers. Get it done in Fort Worth, Texas, American Conference. Hopefully next week we're talking about a trip to NCAA March Madness. From all of us to all of you, go Blazers. Thanks for tuning in to the Inferno Podcast. This is the Inferno Podcast, the official podcast of UAB Athletics. Blazer fans, this is the place each week to get an inside look into UAB Athletics. This episode of the Inferno Podcast is brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health and Pearl River Resort.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.